History reports that once in what is now San Antonio, Texas, a small garrison of defenders of an old Spanish mission made a faithful decision to stay and fight to the death in the face of overwhelming odds. Several thousand soldiers under the command of General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anta had the 189 defenders led by Travis surrounded. Now, Travis was a young Texas lawyer, and he was a colonel, and he was only 26 years old. And he was not a professional soldier by any means, but he knew enough history to understand that in a siege, those on the outside usually prevailed over those on the inside. Part history and probably much embellishment has Colonel Travis draw his sword and mark a line in the ground and ask all that were willing to sell their lives dearly in defense of Texas freedom to cross the line. It's also reported that all but one did. Only Louis Moses Rose, a French soldier of fortune, remained behind. That night, Rose slipped out of what was to be known in history as the Alamo and managed to slip through enemy lines. He ended up somewhere in Louisiana and reportedly lived until 1850. In his column titled Line in the Sand by Mike Cox, the syndicated weekly columnist in 11 newspapers, we read, "No one disputes the outcome of the battle, but historians are fighting over whether the sword story is true." The dramatic tale did not appear in print until 1873, nearly 40 years after the battle. The man who wrote the story for the Texas Almanac, William Patrick Zubar, later admitted that while he reconstructed major portions of Travis's speech at the Alamo, he included only one paragraph of fiction. Unfortunately, we don't know which paragraph that was. Zubar might have been inspired by what happened in December of 1836 when Ben Milam, during the Texican siege of San Antonio de Bexar, did draw a line and urged his fellow revolutionists to follow him in attacking the soldiers of Mexican General Martin Perfecto de Cos. The line in the sand metaphor gets its power because it represents something that is absolutely true. Making a courageous decision often comes with a high price. I read from you the Travis letter written days before the fall of the Alamo. The Travis letter, Commandancy of the Alamo, Béjar, February 24, 1836, to the people of Texas and all Americans in the world, fellow citizens and compatriots, I am besieged by 1,000 or more of the Mexicans under Santa Anna. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison are to be put to the sword if the fort is taken. I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat. Then I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and of everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. The enemy is receiving reinforcements daily and will no doubt increase to 3,000 or 4,000 in 4 or 5 days. If this call is neglected, I am determined to sustain myself as long as possible and die like a soldier who never forgets what is due to his own honor and that of his country. Victory or death. William Barrett Travis, Lieutenant Colonel Commandant. P.S. The Lord is on our side. When the enemy appeared in sight, we had not 3 bushels of corn. We have since found in deserted houses 80 to 90 bushels and got into the walls 20 or 30 head of beeves. Travis. For the 189 defenders of the Alamo, that price was paid in blood. For on the morning after Moses Rose fled the Alamo, several thousand Mexican regulars, under the flag of no surrender, breached the outer wall defenses and put to death all but a few men and women of the garrison, along with men from various nations fighting alongside former Senator David Crockett from Tennessee, Jim Bowie, and the brave Colonel Travis. Later, what these brave men did was immortalized in the battle cries of the men of General Sam Houston as they attacked Santa Anna's forces near present-day San Jacinto. Remember the Alamo. Remember Goliad. Colonel Travis had bargained early on for terms of surrender with the dictator Santa Anna, and it did not take long for him to understand surrender would only lead to execution. That is what happened to more than 400 men under Ben Milam of the Goliad Rebellion when they sued for terms of surrender, only to be summarily executed for laying down their arms to Santa Anna. The defenders of the Alamo then were under no delusion. To lay down their guns would mean an ignominious death at the hands of the vicious dictator of Mexico. But to stand and fight would give cause to the independence they so dearly sought for Texas. Texas needed time to garner their forces, and the men of the Alamo were determined to give it to them. Well, we brethren have just finished reaffirming our promise to our captain, the captain of our salvation, that we would remember his brave stand for our freedom. We read of him in Hebrews 2, verse 10, "This man Jesus, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Through sufferings. He learned from what he suffered. And again in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, "Watch you, stand fast in the truth, quit you like men, be strong." And that word, "quit you like men," most servicemen understand that means die like a man. Die like a man. And when 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, Paul, probably looking into the future, tells Timothy, You, Timothy, whoever's reading this, probably, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We, brethren, all have had a time in our lives when the enemy of our faith comes against our defenses, looking to breach them and take us captive. Satan always, always flies the flag of no quarter. He seeks but one thing, and that is our spiritual destruction. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 doesn't say in vain. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the enemy of your salvation, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And what is our defense? Reading on in verse 9 and 10. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. Our brethren at the Alamo understood that are in the world. Your brethren that are in the world. But for us, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. As the men of the Alamo, let us be under no delusion. They looked for and sent for help, but they were also ready to pay the price for resistance. Suffering for a good cause is painful and often difficult. Jesus suffered many things for our salvation. He earned the spot as our captain. Now, I found while in the service, the rank of captain, while not the highest rank in the military, does place the man, the captain, between the top man, the commander, and the lowly private. Being there, the captain can make intercession on behalf of those training to become better soldiers. The captains can understand the plight of their men, the ones under them, because they have been through the same things. The captain commands the respect of men, for he not only orders his men to the worst part of the battle, he is there with them, leading the way. Sound familiar? Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then, brethren, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What was of the small Spanish mission, what happened there, and what is left for us to know belongs to history now. A small group of men from all works of life, all walks of life, took up a cause of freedom from tyranny and oppression and fought to the last to preserve that ideal. They left us a memory of a time and place when men held life so dear and freedom so valued that they were willing to pay the ultimate price for it. Christ, our captain, brethren, left us a memory of what he did on our behalf. We find that in Luke 22 and verse 19. Many things must have crossed his mind that night, but he left this. He took bread. He gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us strive, brethren, to be good soldiers of the faith once given. The Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, left us a command to love one another as he loved us. To the law, to the prophets, let us speak the words of light and life. And brethren, remember, let us remember.